Okay, welcome to the third hour and final hour of our membership class today. So what I want you to do right now is take out those four articles at the back of your right-hand side of your packet, as well as there should be, I think this was on, I forget where it was in your packet, but there should be a membership covenant. Okay, so I want you to find the membership covenant, and then I want you to find the four articles. Now, today, we only have just a little bit of time, and so I'm not going to go through these four articles. Instead, what I'm going to do is just take 10 minutes. I'm going to take 7 minutes, and I'm going to just walk through and introduce you to what these articles are so that you can take them home, and the articles that are most interest to you, I would highly recommend for your study. Again, normally we'd try to go through each of these articles one by one, once a week. That would take us 4 weeks, and it's really, really helpful. But let me just start with the one that's called, What in the World is the Church? Do you see that one? There should be an article called, What in the World is the Church? This article is basically a Bible study on biblical ecclesiology, which is basically just the study of the body of the church. If you flip through this, you're going to see that starting on page 3, it goes through a whole bunch of biblical descriptions of the church throughout Scripture. So page 3 all the way through to page 9 is just all a jet tour of the Scriptures and the words that it uses to describe the body, the bride, the branch, or excuse me, the vine, the house of God. I mean, just all these different descriptions. It's a glorious tour of how God describes us. And then on page 9 to page 12 is basically the purpose of the church. So the biblical purpose of the church and what God's purpose is towards him, towards others, and towards the world. Which is kind of what I did earlier in our own separate way here with Newcastle Bible Church exists to glorify God by growing deeper and reaching farther through the four necessary means to his glory. So we're going to catch up with this article on page 12, and let me just summarize what the church is and what it isn't. Because if you're going to become a member of a church, you need to understand what you're being a member of. The church is not a building. The church is not a campus. The church is not a place. The church is not a ministry service provider. The church is a people. We are the church. Got it? That's very simple. But that's the main point I want you to get from this first article. At the back of the article, page 13, is why we love the church. In other words, why we love the people that God has saved. It's awesome. On page 15, remember I said there was an article coming that better explains why we're progressive dispensationalists, why we don't think Israel and the church are the same thing. That article is on page 15. Okay? Are Israel and the church the same group? No, they're not. That puts us on the dispensational side. That's there for you. That's article 1. Jet 2 are done, okay? Article 2, how to think about choosing a church. Find that article. How to think about choosing a church, the biblical distinctives of a local church. Because here's the reality, not everybody that calls themselves a church is truly God's people. So there's all kinds of cults and false churches in the world today. We have to just acknowledge that that's true. And that was true in Jesus' day as well. And so this article goes through and gives you, starting on page 2, the 12 biblical characteristics that help you say this is a biblical church. This is a church that's not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect people on earth. Remember, the church is a people. It's not a program. It's not the leaders. The church is the people. So when you evaluate the church, you're not just evaluating their doctrinal statement. You're not just evaluating their leadership. You're evaluating the family. And how do you do that? Well, there's 12 different biblical evaluations for a family of God, and that's in this article. At the end, I'm in how to think about choosing a church. Is that the right one? Are you all with me? Yep, thank you for asking. So how to think about choosing a church. So that goes all the way to page 12. That goes all the way to page 8. Page 7 is the 12 biblical characteristics of a church. On page 8 is a great thing about appropriate reasons for leaving a local church. Because here's the reality. Some of you are coming to Newcastle Bible Church and you're pursuing membership here from another local church. And there's right and wrong reasons to leave a local church. And there's right and wrong ways to leave a local church. And so we're not interested here in just filling our pews at the expense of another local church. We've already said it's our love for other local churches that brings glory to God. So we actually find great delight as elders in often having member interviews with somebody where we find out, you know what, actually, the most glorifying thing for God would be for us to coach you and counsel you and help you work back to your other former church. And we've had that joy many times to send people back home and to just help them to do that well because they needed help. They got hurt. They had, you know, wrong assumptions, whatever. So there's a great article there. Make sure, pay attention to that, page 8 and 9. And then when you do your membership interview with the elders, if you have any questions about how you've left where you've been, make sure and bring that up because we want to help you. Again, we're not here to judge or shame you or put you in an embarrassing place. We really want to help you honor the Lord, glorify Him as you transition churches, if that's what God would have you to do. So there's a good article on page 12, important considerations before you leave a local church. And then because some of you, maybe not you, but somebody you might know, is coming out of religious cults, there's an article that starts on page 13 on how do you know if this is a religious cult or if it's just an unhealthy church. All right, and there's a really helpful article there. I did a lot of study on this in seminary, and this is the paper I wrote for that then. So that's article number 2. Article number 3 is how should I relate to church leadership? Can you pull that one out for a minute? How should I relate to church leadership? I wish we had more time. Newcastle Bible Church is organized. We are ruled or governed by elders who are submitting themselves in plurality under the lordship of Jesus and His Word. So in this church, we have currently there's 9 of us that are elders, and we have 3 elders in development. Excuse me, there's 8 of us that are elders, and there's 4 elders in development. So there's 12 of us men, if you count the men that are being developed, there's 12 of us men that are in plurality responsible for spiritually leading Newcastle Bible Church. How much authority does one single elder have over your soul? The authority actually isn't even in the elders. The authority is in the Word of God. This is the authority of your soul. The elders as a group have been delegated authority by God to, as a group, shepherd the flock. So the group of elders has a delegated authority over your soul. We're going to see that in a moment from Hebrews chapter 13. It's a powerful, powerful text. And I want to make sure and allow us time to spend time there because that's a really important text. But this article really goes through and tries to help you see that God's design for spiritual leadership is to shepherd your soul under His ultimate authority. At Newcastle Bible Church, we also use deacons. Deacons, when you hear the word deacon, I don't want you to hear property manager, custodian, maintenance guy. I want you to hear ministry leader. I want you to think life group leader, children's ministry leader, small group leader for Rooted Ministries with the students. Like, I want you to hear ministry leader. A deacon is a leadership office. Philippians 1:1, Paul's writing to the elders and the deacons in Philippi. They're both leadership offices. So to be a deacon in this church, you have to be gifted in spiritual leadership, but you're not a teacher, you're an equipper. If you're a teacher, you're going to be an elder. If you're a equipper, male or female, in a deacon role, you're going to be a deacon. Okay? And you're going to help be the shock absorbers between the frame of the elders and the tires of the members, as we're all being driven along by the engine of Jesus and His Word. Okay? You like that analogy? All right. On page 6, are there prophets and apostles still leading the church today? We would say no, and page 6 helps answer that. How can I bring my spiritual leaders joy? Please look at that article on page 8 and 9. That's important. And then on page 10 to 12 is a biblical understanding of spiritual restoration. This is really important too. At this church, we follow God's word, which means that we seek to restore anytime we find one of our brothers and sisters is digging into sin. So if you find yourself digging into sin and kind of bearing down and saying, I know what God says, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm hurt, because I'm scared, because life is hard, whatever. We want to be God's people around you that love you enough to say, oh, listen to God's word. Cheer up. You're far more sinful than you even think you are. But in Jesus, you are more loved, you're more welcomed, you're more accepted, you're more sung over. All your joy is going to be found in Jesus. Dear sister, come here. Don't go that way. It won't lead to your joy. And we seek to restore. Most churches call this church discipline. We practice a restorative church discipline, where we come alongside and hopefully privately convince you to repent. And if you don't listen over time, we're very patient. We bring some others, come along, widen the circle of care to eventually at the point, if you're really dug in, we've been pursuing you, we might even go to our entire membership. The way that works here, by the way, it's always going on. You didn't know about it because you're not members. And our members are really good about this. They don't gossip. They pray. But what we do is we send letters to our members and we'll say, dear brothers and sisters, and it just goes to our members, we're sad to inform you that Brother Kevin is really struggling with a sin of, and we'll name the sin, okay? Not doing it to embarrass you, but we'll name the sin so that people know kind of what's going on at that high level, right? We're not going to get into the weeds, but just like struggling with the sin of being faithful to his marriage covenant, okay? If you know Kevin and you have a personal relationship with Kevin, would you please pursue him in a Matthew 18 kind of a way, where Matthew 18 verse 17 says, tell it to the church so that he may be saved, so that you would come alongside and love and encourage and say, oh, Kevin, please repent, please turn. Find the joy of repentance. And if you don't know Kevin personally, would you please pray for Kevin? Because he's one of our family. And he's really, really hurting right now. So we send that letter. And we trust God. See, spiritual restoration in the church is like the defibrillator of the church. You know what a defibrillator is? That's when somebody's having a heart attack and they stand back, they say, clear, and they put the pads on and they go, right? Who wants to have a defibrillator? Nobody. Unless you're the one having a heart attack and you're dying on the table. And then that defibrillator saves your life. The third step in Matthew 18, the first step is private, one-on-one. Leslie comes to me and says, Kevin, man, the way you did that, I'm so sorry, I repent. Nobody ever else knows about it. But if I don't repent, she brings Rod with her next time, right? We talk. But if I repent, great, nobody else knows about it. But if I don't repent, we get the church leaders involved, still no repentance, and we take it to the whole membership, privately, confidentially, with love, with prayer. And that's hard. But that's God's defibrillator so that you might be saved. And we don't want to ever deny one of our members God's means of life, even though it might seem severe and it might seem disruptive and it might seem hard. We know that God intends it for life. Okay? So when you are committing to membership here, you are saying, I want you to love me that way if I dig into sin. Because we take that really serious. And at any point in time in a church our size, we got 4, 5, 6 of our members that are somewhere in that process all the time. So pray. Pray for each other. Pray for us. Pray that God will keep us from sin. And then pray that when I do find myself in sin, that my brothers and sisters will love me well enough to not let me stay there, but show me the beauty of Jesus. Okay, now we got to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, because if I just had one verse to teach, and obviously I only have the time to teach one verse right now, but if I had just one verse to teach that would argue for why you should become a member at Newcastle Bible Church, I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. In fact, some of you may have heard me preach a message on this recently, right? Did I just preach on this fairly recently? I might have. So this might be repeat. Pete? All right, so Hebrews 13, 17. Somebody read it out loud for me very quickly.
Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you.
In the context, we know from verse 7, he's speaking of spiritual leaders here. He's talking about your shepherds. He's talking about your pastors and elders. He says, I want every Christian to be in a relationship with your spiritual shepherds. So notice, by the way, he assumes you have a relationship with your spiritual shepherds. No such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. If you're connected with the head of Christ, then necessarily you must be connected with his body, the bride, the church. You can't come up to me and say, Kevin, I really like you, but I just really can't stand your wife. Well, sorry, Charlie, we kind of go together. God has put us in his family through regeneration. Conversion puts us into his body. The way his body is known in the world is through the local church. You say, well, but I just attend. I'm not a member. I just attend. The Bible doesn't have that category. In our culture, the way you communicate commitment to a church is through membership. Church membership, by filling out an application, being recognized formally as a member, that it's in Acts a little bit. They say they added them to the rolls, so we see that in Acts. But the that use of the word church member isn't in the Bible. What is in the Bible is that the people who were saved were committed to one another. And they cared for one another. And they prayed. And they gathered together. And they worshiped together. That's what is in the Bible. That is very biblical. So for us, culturally, in America, in this year, the way we culturally show that commitment to one another is through church membership. Because we understand there's going to be people that walk in off the street and are with us on a Sunday. That doesn't make them part of our family. We welcome them. Everyone's welcome. We welcome attenders. But that doesn't mean that they're committed in our mission. That doesn't mean they're committed to our doctrine. That doesn't mean they're committed to our Lord. That doesn't mean they're committed to each other. That doesn't mean they pray for each other. That doesn't mean they give. The way we know that we are in partnership, and the way your shepherds know who they're accountable to God to answer for, is those who are committed. Well, how do I show that I'm committed? Not by just regular attendance, by becoming a member. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. That's a fascinating phrase. Your spiritual shepherds are keeping watch over your soul, not over your ministry, over your soul. It's very terrifying. It's We take that very serious here. If you're a member here, you get prayed for once a week by one of our elders, by name. If you're a tender here, you don't. If you're a member here, we are constantly looking and saying, where are you serving? How are you involved? How are you doing spiritually? Has anybody checked in with them recently? Are they in a life group? We are responsible for your soul and how we care for your soul, how we encourage your soul. Because we will have to give an account before God for how we have shepherded you, and we want to do this with joy. So, you know what's discouraging for spiritual shepherds? Is to see spiritual consumers. Those who want to consume and benefit from our ministry, but never commit, never own up, never carry their weight. You've heard the adage that 10% of people in the church do 90% of the ministry. You know, that discourages leadership, right, when that happens. You know what encourages spiritual shepherds? What encourages spiritual shepherds is the way they see people living the resurrection life by the power of the Spirit, loving one another. You know, like what I see, I walk through here on a Sunday morning and we have the church gathered and there's lots of energy and lots going on, and I see a brother over here with another brother with his hand on his shoulder praying for him. Oh, I don't even know what's going on in that conversation, but I like that. When I see a sister over here sitting down in the corner of the family center and she's talking, and they got their Bibles open and they're oh, that encourages my soul. When I see the body loving the body and the members loving the members and praying for one another, encouraging one another, building one another up in love, that gives your shepherds joy. And don't you love to be shepherded by joyful shepherds? A depressed shepherd's kind of a bummer. So a joyful shepherd brings joy to you. So this is a wonderful, I just want to encourage you, pursue church membership. It is to your advantage, spiritual advantage, eternal advantage. I don't know of a way in today's culture, in America, in Central Illinois, I don't know of a way for you to get all that God intends for you to get out of your spiritual shepherding if you refuse to become a church member. I just think you're stunting God's work of His design if you refuse that. Now, I understand some people have been hurt. Church membership hasn't always been practiced in a joyful way. So there's going to be some real issues. We'll work through that with you. We want to be patient and meet you where you are. But I believe firmly church membership in a local church is for your joy. It's for your joy. So take out your application. You got a membership application. You have now survived 3 hours of membership class at Newcastle Bible Church. So here's what the next steps are, okay? Next steps, because attending this class does not make you a member, okay? This is just discovering church membership. So this is just introductory. If you want to become a member, there's certain steps you have to take. The first step is to fill out this application. Each person, one application per person. It doesn't take too long. It's not too bad. It's just one page. But you're going to share your testimony. You're going to share what you believe God might have to be your contributions to this church. You're going to fill this out, and you're going to turn it into the church office. You say, how do I do that? Well, you can just handwrite it, and you can just drop it by the church office, Lori's office right here, put it in an envelope, write church a membership application on the outside of the envelope, drop it on her desk. You can scan it with your phone and email it to me. All of our emails at the church are first initial of first name, last name. So mine's ksouder@mynCBC.org. It's the same for all of the staff, any of the pastors, any of the elders. First initial, last name is our email addresses. You can scan it and email it. That's fine too. But here's what's going to happen. Once you turn this into the church office, the office is going to scan this and upload it to Basecamp so all of our elders can see it. So all 12 men will be able to see what you wrote here. They will review it, and then the office will contact you and say, we'd like to set up a membership interview with you. A membership interview can be done with your family. So if there's multiple ones in the same family pursuing membership, you can all do your interview together. Usually those interviews happen on a Sunday morning at 9:30 during the Sunday school hour, okay, is most typically when it's done. And two elders will meet with you to go over your application and to help answer any other questions that you didn't get answered today in the class, whatever. It's a very sweet time. Don't be intimidated by it. But they are going to ask you to share your testimony and to talk about what Jesus means to you. Because again, we take very seriously our responsibility to make sure that those who are becoming members have first come to know Jesus. All right? So we're going to talk to you about that. We're going to talk to you about baptism. Make sure that you've been baptized. Answer any questions you have about the church. Make sure that we're going the same direction doctrinally. Answer any questions you have about the doctrines, different things you found on our website. If you have questions about, they're there to serve you. Plus, you get to know some of the elders, which is kind of a fun way to get to know them more personally, too. They're sweet guys. We're so blessed in this church to have the leaders we have right now. You're in a sweet season at Newcastle right now. Our leaders are united. They're godly men. They're gifted men. We love each other. We're friends. It's a sweet time to be at Newcastle right now. So you'll love meeting those. First step is fill out this application. Second step, the church is going to call you and schedule a interview with elders. Once that goes well, then you will be contacted by the church for a Sunday morning when we will call you up in front of the church with a batch. We do membership receptions in batches, and so we'll bring a batch of new members up all together. We'll pray over you, welcome you into membership formally. You'll get a certificate, and you'll continue to serve in that way. Okay? Any questions about the process? There's one more thing I have to talk about before I let you go today, and that's this Newcastle membership covenant. Okay? Because I want you to know, when you become a member, what are you committing to? What are your expectations? What are we expecting from you? Okay? So when you become a member, this is what we're going to be asking you to commit to. So let's just go through this very quickly. I'll do it. I'm going to keep you 10 minutes late. I'm sorry, but I do want to cover this today. We, the members of Newcastle Bible Church, having been brought to faith in Jesus Christ and having been baptized upon our profession, willingly and joyfully enter into a covenant relationship with one another so that together we may grow deeper and reach farther for the glory of God. Does anybody have that? Anybody not have it? Should be just a one-page thing called the membership covenant.
It's on the left side.
It's on the left side of your packet. So as I read through these, just ask yourself, am I able to make these commitments by God's grace at work in my life? First commitment, we will fully submit ourselves to the authority of God's Holy Scripture. Number two, we will joyfully follow the leadership of our God-appointed elders. Number three, we will regularly participate in the gathering of God's people for the purpose of corporate worship, prayer, fellowship, and service. I understand. There's going to be some weeks you're not here. I understand. That happens. But regularly, our pattern, our practice is going to be to be with this family for worship. Number four, we will generously steward our God-given time, talents, and treasures for the spread of gospel ministry. So we're going to be giving financially. We're going to be giving our time. We're going to be giving our spiritual gifts back into the church so that God is being glorified through our partnership together. We will faithfully preserve the unity of God's people with a spirit of love and humility. In other words, we're going to pursue relational wholeness, love and humility. Not going to be divisive. We're not going to let Satan have his way. We'll resolve conflict biblically, in other words. Next, we will intentionally disciple God's people by speaking truth to one another and carrying the burdens of one another. So in other words, saying, yeah, I'm committed to, I want to make disciples. I'm going to be willing to speak God's word to other people. I'm not going to be a preacher, maybe. I'm not going to be a women's Bible study leader, maybe. But I'm committed that when I talk to others, I'm going to be trying to build them up in the faith. I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to carry burdens and pray for others. We will passionately pursue a life of holiness that proclaims the glory of God to the watching world. Am I able to say, yeah, I want to grow. I don't want to be the same in 2 years. I want to be more like Jesus in 2 years than I am today. We will readily embrace God's plan for spiritual restoration when sin becomes evident in our lives. And then finally, should God direct us from this church, we will prayerfully unite with another church where we can carry out the same spirit of this covenant. We're not the only local church in the world. Praise the Lord for that. We've got so many great local churches here in Central Illinois. So we understand you may not be here for the rest of your life, and that's okay. We don't expect you. This is not membership for life. This is membership until God calls you to the next church. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Any questions about what we expect of our members? If so, please come up afterwards. Let me close our time with prayer. I want to get you out of here as close to the end as I said I would. But thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you so much for praying for Newcastle Bible Church. Thank you so much for your gospel partnership with us. I pray that every single one of you would find God's grace to pursue this and then live this commitment together for God's glory. I've overwhelmed you today with information. You're going home with a packet stuffed to the brim that we didn't even hardly scratch. Benefit from that to whatever extent God would have you benefit from it. But just know you are loved here. You are loved, and it is our privilege. It'd be our tremendous privilege to partner with you for God's sake for this time. So let's pray. So, Father, thank you for these dear friends of mine. I just pray that you'd bless them. Make your face shine upon them, Father. Show them your glory so that having seen your beauty, they would portray and communicate your beauty outwardly to others. Oh, Father, bless them. Please help us to fight against sin. Help us to love you more than we love ourselves. I pray that you'd grow us in the humble dependence of faith, the doctrinal soundness of truth, the relational wholeness of love, and the missional faithfulness of witness, all for your name's sake and for your glory. And together we say, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.